As I come before you this morning, as always, I give all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. It's an honor, it's a privilege, and it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servant listens. Your servant awaits the event of your Holy Spirit, Lord. For without you, I can do nothing. But with you, Lord, I can do all things. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Just take right now the possession of my very being, Lord God, and use me as you wish, Lord. Someone needs a word, Lord. Someone needs a word, Lord God, and I can't give them a word, Lord, but you can. Speak, Lord. I come to you now as an empty pitcher, Lord, asking for you to fill me right now, Lord God. Guide me right now by the reins of my mind and by the reins of my heart, Lord God, that I will go down and say those things that you would have me to say, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servant listens. Speak, Lord. For someone needs a word. In Jesus' name we pray. Have several hours. I've got a
yes.
We just thank God that he will refine, and I know that he will. He always does. This is not the first time I've come to you with a book, and he's already speaking. And the scripture that I had read by Reverend MacMillan was not the scripture that I intended to have read, but when I looked down on it as she started reading, I realized that it was the scripture that God wanted read, because God wanted to send the message out that He can use anyone.
Yes.
So what she read was a scripture concerning Paul. And of course, Paul's conversion. So it just shows that God can use anyone. So as we go through this morning, I want you just to keep that scripture in the back of your mind that he can use anyone. But this morning we'll be looking at Peter.
Alright.
And if you would, with your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, and I'm going to just start with verse 1. It reads thusly: "And now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, He put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off of his hands. Hallelujah. Chains fell off of his hands. And down to verse 11 says, and when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety."
Yes.
He said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews." Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
And we want to use this morning as a topic. When I studied, I went through several topics. And I'll share with you some of the ones before I give you actually what I settled on. The first one was comprehending a miracle, and it had a colon in it. It said, "It's about time for a miracle." So that first one was comprehending a miracle, colon, "It's about time for a miracle." And then the second topic to come to my spirit was, "Are you ready for a miracle?" And then as I continued studying, my topic was presented to me. And it's comprehending and hosting a miracle. Comprehending and hosting a miracle. You see, when as I study, God just he opened up. That's why I got so many pages. He opened up some things to me.
You know? Do it.
And he said that right now, most of us run around. We're like a child with a $1 million check. We got the resources that we need, but we don't know how to go to the bank and cash it. When you start talking about comprehending and hosting a miracle, well, if you look at the word understanding, some of the synonyms for understanding is, for comprehending is understand, no, realize, grasp, get, you know, I get it, figure out, have a handle on, and I learned a new word.
All right.
Another synonym is that twig. Twig, T-W-I-G, as in, do you twig me?
All right.
Never in my life, Herbie. But I said to the lawyer, I twig you. And then when you talk about hosting, see a host, if the best way to understand a host is, if you think like when a woman is having a child, they serve as that child's host. Is that right? And if you looked at it from a biological standpoint, it says that one organism gives life to another organism. So you're hosting. So this morning we're talking about comprehending and hosting a miracle. Now see, some people say that miracles have already served a purpose in the Bible. They said they've already done what they were intended to do. And it's true enough, if you look at the scriptures, that you find that the purpose of miracles in the most part was twofold. One was to cause men to believe in the Lord. You can find reference to that in John 14:11. Another one was to confirm his word. You can find reference to that in John 20:30-31. But Jesus promised his disciples the ability to perform miracles in order to confirm the word they would preach.
Yes.
And we learn from the New Testament that these miracles were performed and did indeed confirm the gospel that was proclaimed. I want you to understand something this morning. In order that you can comprehend a miracle, the first thing you need to do is to understand who God is.
All right.
If you can start to realize that God is the omnipotent creator who can do
anything
and all things.
Yes. Yes.
Let me see if I can get this set up the right way so that we can understand exactly what God wants us to get out of this. In order that any miracle can take place, four things have to happen. First of all, you have to perceive that there's a situation or a circumstance that is beyond human control. The second thing, you have to have faith that God is able to do those things that are beyond human abilities and sometimes beyond human comprehension. The fourth thing, God has to act. I'm sorry, that's the third. The fourth thing is that we have to perceive that God has acted. It gets better. You see, whatever God did in the Bible days, God continues to do today. See, my Bible tells me, and everybody heard that, they tell you that God does not change. He's the same then as he is now.
Yes.
So whatever God could do then, God can do now.
Yes, he can.
See, when you fully comprehend a miracle, see, you start to see some things. You realize that sometimes the outcome might not be that incomprehensible. But you start to realize that In order to get to that point, let me see if I can give you an example. If you take what happened to Gabrielle Giffords, well, if you say that she got shot in the brain and survived, and then many might say that's a miracle. Yes. And as the doctor explained, he said it out of his own mouth, but what he said, it's a miracle, but see, we're gonna call it a medical miracle. Yes. A miracle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you see that the outcome may not be incomprehensible to humans. But when you put together everything in order that had to happen, when you realize that the bullet went from back to front,
Jesus,
which is unusual since the gunman was facing her, but the bullet went from back to front and it went on the left side of the brain as opposed to the right side of the brain, and they tell me on the right side is more dangerous than on the left side. And she just happened to have an assistant there with her that was medically trained, that put the pressure in the right spot at the right time. You see where I'm going with this?
Oh yes, oh yes.
So when you look at everything that has to fall into place, thank you, Holy Ghost. Well, when everything falls into place, then that's when you start to comprehend a miracle. That's when you can start saying, look where he brought me from, because I was in a situation and I got from here to there and I really am not sure. But when I start looking at what God put in place,
yes,
you start to understand a miracle. It's when you realize that the outcome may be humanly comprehensible, but the series of events comprising the outcome can only be explained as miraculous.
All right.
You start to comprehend a miracle.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I was in the shower this morning. Stick with me here because we got some scientific people here. That's good. Educated crowd. But God gave me something when I was in the shower that we can remember. He gave me a formula.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take my time here, just give you these pieces because I think it's important that you understand it. You see, if we start talking about a comprehension level, we'll call that C. And then you throw in there your relationship with God, which is equivalent to the time you spend seeking the Lord in prayer and praise and meditation. So this relationship we'll call R. Then you take a B, says belief. How much of it you got? And then T is trust. And then you got HG, which is the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
And I want you to understand, and it runs on a scale of 0 to infinity. Now stay with me. It's simple. So you come up with a formula that says comprehension level, C, equals B, which is belief, times T, which is trust, times R, which is relationship. For some of you math heads, put it in parentheses. Raised to the power of the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
So you got C equals paren B times R times T paren raised to the power of the Holy Ghost. See, look at this is what makes it. This is what makes God good. I went and I looked at that formula, and it got on my mind. I said, "Now, how do you explain the Holy Ghost?" And when I said, "Okay, if the Holy Ghost is raised to a power," I said, "What would be the Holy Ghost raised to the power of zero?" Any of you math heads know that one. See, I didn't. No, see, that's what you logically think, that it would be zero. But it's equivalent when you raise any number to the power of zero, you come up with one. In other words, what the Lord said, that you can have all them other things, and you can stay in church all your life, and you can do Bible study, you can do what you want, but if you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's just you. If you don't have a Holy Ghost, if you raise the Holy Ghost to the power of zero, it's just you. Thank you, Lord. Y'all can come and get this. I got it wrote down. Now, so when you start talking about comprehending and hosting a miracle, you see, when you get to the part of hosting a miracle, and I'm going to get back to Peter, because Peter went through all of this.
Oh, yes.
You see, when you start talking about the host of a miracle, you got two types of host. One is involuntary, and the other one is voluntary. See, God can do what God wants to do. So, so sometimes God can take an involuntary host and use him anyway. See, my Bible tells me that. See, Peter, one day they tell me he was out fishing. And they had been fishing all day long, and they had caught absolutely nothing. But Jesus came by, and Jesus told him to go back. First of all, he told him to say, cast out into the deep. In other words, he said, take a chance. Go out into the deep and cast your net on this side of the boat.
Yes.
He was using Peter as an involuntary host.
Yes.
You want to see why? See, Peter was involuntary because he answered the Lord. He said, we have toiled all night. And I'm not just talking about I'm an expert fisherman. I know what I'm doing. I went to where you're supposed to catch the fish. So I've done all of those things that I'm supposed to do. And we didn't catch anything. But nevertheless, just to humor you, I'll cast my net on that side of the boat. You know the story. Mm-hmm. The net was so full that it break with fish. He had to call the other boat in to help him contain the fish.
Yes, yes.
Take this with you. When you get to the end of your rope and you're willing to try anything, call on the Lord. Call on Jesus. See, now let me go further with Peter. You see, Peter was on this, it's a process trying to comprehend and host a miracle the way that you ought to. That it's a process. So Peter was going through a process. Mm-hmm. They tell me that one time Peter was, they were out on a boat, and what appeared like a ghost was coming toward them. And the Lord addressed me. He said, it's me, Peter. Uh-huh. But Peter said, if it be thou, uh-huh, bid me to come walk upon the water. Have you ever been where you don't know which way to turn? And your faith gets weak. And sometime in the midnight hour when you're praying and you're calling on the Lord, but sometimes you feel like he just don't hear you. And sometimes you almost want to say, Lord, are you still there?
Yes.
If it be thou, show me something.
Yes, yes sir.
See, Peter was on a journey.
Hallelujah.
Going through a process. Because you can be an involuntary host of a miracle without comprehending the miracle itself or even understanding the source of a miracle. You see, the Bible says that God uses miracles to show us stuff. So he can use anybody that he chooses,
yes.
And the person that's hosting it might not get it.
Come on now. Yes, sir.
Do you tweak me?
Yes.
But you see, what was missing with Peter was the power of the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
You see, when Peter became a voluntary host, it's when he became filled with the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. You see, the scripture that I would have had Reverend MacMillan read was in Acts 10.
Yes.
And when it talked about Peter going up on the roof to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time Peter was going up on the roof to pray,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit was working on Cornelius someplace else. And he was telling Cornelius, he said, you are a man of God and you got everything you need except you don't know who Jesus is.
Yes, yes.
He said, but I'm going to come into your life because you're seeking God and you're praying and what you do know, you know, what you do know, use what you got to try to get in touch with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So he was telling Cornelius, he said, there's a man named Peter that you need to see. He's off with another guy named Simon. Peter is staying with another guy called Simon.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling them where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Peter, when Peter went to pray, Peter went to pray and he was sitting. Peter actually fell into a trance because
yes.
my Bible tells me that Peter said he would have been eaten.
Yes, sir.
But for some reason this day, the food wasn't ready. And I just assumed that he was so hungry that he fell into a trance. But what I'm trying to get you to see is when the Holy Ghost starts to work in your life. It's when you invited the Holy Ghost in and you tell the Holy Ghost that you can use me any way you see fit. If you need to use me to reach somebody else, then you can have possession of my being. Hallelujah. Something happens when the Holy Ghost starts to work on you.
Yes.
You see, Peter, when he became a voluntary host, they tell me that Peter healed the sick. They tell me that Peter raised the dead. Is that right?
Come on.
When he became a voluntary host for a miracle.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
And then when you become a host, there's another level of a host. You got the recipient. You know how disease do. Sometimes you have a disease and you got it. And other people got the trait. So other people are a carrier of the disease.
Well, go ahead. Go on with it.
So when Peter was growing, this next level of a carrier is when you're so full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That you're contagious.
Ah! Oh, God.
It's when the Holy Ghost can use you subconsciously. Yes. It's when the Holy Ghost can move you around because you're not resisting, when the Holy Ghost has got control of you. Now you're ready for a miracle. Now you're ready for a miracle when you're going through God's training to teach you how to comprehend the miracle. Now you're ready for a miracle. When we get back to our text, verse 7 says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him." It didn't say that he invited the angel. He and the angel of the Lord just came upon him, because the angel of the Lord said, "This is my house. Now I can do with this being what I wish." Ready for a miracle. He was praying for a miracle. Now he said, "Take and use me any way you see fit, Lord. If you want to affect somebody else's life, use me. If you want to affect my life, use me, Lord, any way you see fit." He came upon him and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and he said, and he raised him up. It didn't say he woke him up and he got up. He said he raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly."
Yes.
And his chains fell off.
Fell off.
Somebody in prison today.
Jesus.
Somebody's in prison today, and they got the key, but they don't know how to use it.
Jesus.
They're in prison right now. They don't know which way to turn. Something is not going the way that they think that life ought to be going. And they're locked in prison. And they don't know how to unlock the door. Hallelujah. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." So he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Don't worry about trying to look pretty and getting yourself all fixed up." It says, "Let the Holy Spirit have his way." And he went out.
Yes.
And he followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel. But he thought he had a vision. He said, "The Lord's got such a hold on me. I can't tell when it's a vision and when I'm in a dream. I can't tell one from the other because the Lord's got such a hold on me." Comprehension and hosting. I'm about ready to close here. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leads into the city. You ever been so close?
Oh, yes.
Just can't quite get over the hump. You keep getting up to the hump, but you can't get over the hump. You climb up and slide right back down. But when they got to the gate that leads into the city, they went out and they passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety."
No.
This joy that I got, this power that I got on the inside. And right now I know it as a surety. It's not one that somebody can tell you about. It's not one that can be taught. It's one that you've got to find yourself. But when the Holy Ghost fills you.
Yes, sir.
You might have trouble trying to tell your friends. They might look at you and say, something's wrong with you. Something's different with you. You say, but it's all right because yes, this joy.
This joy. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
You can't understand it. You can't understand what I got to you. Well, you understand what you got.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And when you go and tell your friends that I found something, don't be surprised if they don't do you just like Peter. They tell me that Peter came and knocked on the door, but when they heard his voice, they said, it must be an angel. Because we know that Peter is locked up.
Yes.
Yeah. It's something about when you comprehend. And when you voluntarily give yourself to be a host for a miracle. Are you ready for a miracle?
Jesus.
Are you ready for a miracle? Somebody needs a miracle in this room. And all you got to do is let go. And let God. Let go. And let God have his way. It really doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what it looks like. If you can see who you're counting on for the miracle.
All right.
If you know Jesus and you know that he's got the whole world in his hand. If you're ready for a miracle, let go. And let God. Let go and let God. It's not that hard to comprehend that God can do anything. And let him have his way. Become a voluntary host. Fill me, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Fill me, Lord. My Bible tells me, if you ask for the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Is that what it says? If you ask for the Holy Ghost, he'll give you the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir, God.
To the power of infinity.
Thank you.
When you're feeling down, comprehend and host a miracle. When you're feeling down, comprehend host